Ephraim Greenblatt. Ephraim Greenblatt was a big rav in Memphis, Tennessee. He was a Talmud of Moshe Feinstein. And he passed away about a year ago. A little over a year ago. He wrote 10 volumes of Shilas and Tshuvas called Rivos Ephraim. So in the third volume, of the Rivos Ephraim, in Siman Taf Mem Beis, 442, he has a little piece on Yisrochak. And he writes a fascinating thing in the name of Rav Baruch Sorotzkin. Rav Paul Baruch Sorotzkin was Rosh Yeshiva Tells, the son of Rav Zalman Sorotzkin, who wrote the famous work on Chumash, the Aznayim LeTorah. An excellent, excellent sefer on Chumash. People should know about it. So he writes here in this tshuva. He quotes the Ramah in Siman Taf Chaf Tes, the Ramah at the very beginning of Hilchos Pesach. That's the beginning of the fifth volume of Mishnah Berurah. So he says, if you look in the Ramah at the very beginning of Hilchos Pesach, what do you find? B'tchilas dine Pesach, kosev din isruchak. One of the first things you find, before you even get to Taf Lam, which is Shabbos Agad, before you get to any of Hilchos Pesach, right, at the very end of Taf Chav Tes, in chapter 429 of the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim, you find that the Ramah says, oh, by the way, when the Yant is over, there's something called Isruchak. What's Isruchak? The Ramah writes, Noagim laharbos ksas ba'achil v'shtia b'yom achar chag, v'hu Isruchak. You should make sure to eat and drink a little something extra to continue the feelings of the Yom Tov even after the Yom Tov. Isruchak. We try to attach ourselves to the Yom Tov. So he quotes here, Ephraim Greenblatt, Tzatzal, brings B'Shem, Rav Baruch Sorotzkin. Rav Sorotzkin passed away in the 1970s, the late 1970s. Again, Rosh Hashivan tells. So he says, I want to share with you an idea that I heard B'Shem, Rav Baruch Sorotzkin, Rav Rafal Baruch Sorotzkin, Rosh Hashivas tells. And it should be, he says, L'zecher Nishmaso. He was a very great person, he writes here. And he had many Talmidim, and he was always a Pesach Yitzibur, and we should remember him fondly. And here's what Rav Baruch Sorotzkin said. Hachagim nitnu liYisrael lis'alus ha'nefesh. What's the whole point of Yom Tov? So I want to reflect, so that we don't come out of Pesach and walk away as if nothing happened. What's the whole point of a Chag? What's the point of Yom Tov? He says the point of Yom Tov, obviously, is to have not only an Aliyah, right? Aliyah L'Regel, an Aliyah Haguf, traveling up to the Makom HaMikdash, but it's an Aliyah HaNefesh, with Alus HaNefesh, he says. That's the point of Yom Tov. She'inar me'alav es ofer ha'chomer v'ha'gashmius, she'nitzpar alav v'meshach hazman, to shake off his nari me'afar kumi, to shake off a little bit of the dust and the dirt of Gashmius that's gathered upon us over the course of time, and to mechazik ourselves, yechazik es rucho v'neshmaso b'mitzvah sachag, uva'avir ashal kedushaso. To breathe in a little bit the kedusha sachag, to breathe in a little bit the feeling of the chag, the air of the chag, right? The air which is permeated with the holiness of the chag, to absorb within oneself, b'frat on Pesach, the matzah, which is the mechlad mehamnusa, the food of faith. Rav Chatzkel Levenstein used to say, when a person eats matzah, he's not eating matzah, he's eating amunah. He's ingesting amunah. He's swallowing amunah. He's absorbing amunah into himself. So that's what the point of Yom Tov is, to shake off, again, the gashmias, and to attach ourselves to something very holy. And the point is that it should change us. K'muvan she'ena kavana she'aliyah zo, te'imugbelis rak liyamei achak. The goal, says Rav Baruch Sorotzkin, is not that you feel very elevated over Chag, you sit by Leil Hiskadish Chag, the Seder, right? Pesach by night at the Seder, and you absorb, like we saw from the Gra, 64 mitzvos, the Raisa, the Rabbanon, so many opportunities, and you say Hala for so many days, and you feel so elevated, and then what happens? And then you just go back to the regular day in, day out? It can't be. He says the kavanah of the aliyah that takes place in the Chag is not meant to be mugbelis, it's not meant to be contained. Rak liyamei achag. And then you just get back to the regular flow of life. It can't be. You take spiritual sustenance from the Chag to carry you throughout the entire year. And that feeling, those elevated feelings that you felt, that we all felt throughout the course of the Chag, what should you do with them? You should bring them into the Chayim Hayom Yomayim. To bring it into your daily life. Right, the daily flow of life should be changed, should absorb some of that kedusha sachak. So he says, what's the inyan of isru chag? What is isru chag? Okay, now we're holding by isru chag. So we have to be hiddur mitzvah. Hiddur mitzvah by isru chag. Yeah, what's the inyan of isru chag? The inyan of isru chag is to make sure that when the Yom Tov ends, the Ramah tells us there's an idea. Noyim laharbos ksas ba'achil v'shtia. I continue to eat. Right? Even on the Gashmius level, I continue to eat the way that I ate over the Chag, with a little bit more of an elevated fashion. By Hasidim, many still continue to wear their shtreimel on Isru Chag. Right? Then you have a practice not to say certain parts of the tefillah as a hemshech of Yisro Chag. Either way, we're not saying tachnun throughout Nisan. Right? But there are many things that we're trying to do to show that the Chag hasn't left. That's the idea of Yisro Chag. V'zeu inyan Yisro Chag. Sheteikach achar hayavta. Lo yichaneis ha'adam l'chayim achiloyniyam. A person shouldn't just get back to regular mundane life. The yishkach teikach masher rachach shalal ayidei yomtov. Kel Hashem v'yar lano. He quotes the pasuk we said in Halo. Right, we've had an illumination. You can't just let that disappear. Ayidei kedushas ayomtov amitzvos. Rakira isrucha. Isruchag ba'avosim, to attach yourself to the chag. Ulisha'er al madrega gavoa sheigia elel ad karnos hamizbeach. That you should stay. Mamish kilu, you're holding by the top of the mizbeach. You're still in that elevated place. So he says, let's go back to the opening question. Why is it that the halach of Yisro Chag is quoted by the Ramah where? At the very beginning of Hilchos Pesach. Before you even get to Shabbos HaGadol, before you learn how to kasher your kelim, before you learn how much matzah you need to eat, and brachos that you make, and four cups of wine, and leaning, and mar, before you get to anything, the first thing you need to know is Yisro Chag. Why? So he says, Yidiyazom, Shetachlis Kedushas Hayom Tov Mitzvosav, Hiya Yisro Chag. Drushal Adam Teikav Biskadish Chag. You have to come into the Yom Tov knowing about Yisro Chag before you know anything else. Because if you don't know what the point of the Yom Tov is. The Yom Tov is going to come and it's going to go and you're going to be unchanged. Kedeshi Yishtad B'chol Kochos of Lirchosh Kedushas Yom Tov B'mida Gedusha, to make sure you take a heaping portion of Yom Tov with you. Shetaspik V'tisha'er Aslo Afil Ba'avor Achad, to make sure that it remains with you when the Chag is over. So he says, "Uma'anyein, how interesting it is that the Ramah brings Yisro Chag take up b'siman arishon shehilchos Pesach. The first thing the Ramah says you need to know is how you're going to walk out of Pesach. Are you going to be a different person? You're going to come back to the Beis Medrash, come back to Yeshiva. You're going to go back to life as a new person, or you're going to go back to life the same way you always were. V'lo b'sofach called the Yom Tov. It's too late after the Yom Tov to start thinking, well, what do I want to take from the Yom Tov?" So you'll say to me, "No, so Rebbe, why don't you teach me this? Why don't we learn this piece?" Okay, because I only found this Rebbe Moshe Efrayim, thanks to my good friend, after the Yantiv. But it's not too late. It's not too late. Not too late to think about, we got a lot. Now we just have to pause for a second to make sure we absorb it. Yeah, so he says, the idea zu shal Yisro Chag hu ha'alif v'haschola shal hilchos chag. So therefore, alif, step one of what Yom Tov is about, is what do I want to get out of this Yom Tov? And how am I going to make sure that I walk out of Yom Tov a different person? And I take that excitement of how different I'm going to be, what a changed person I'm going to be after the Yom Tov, I take that with me into the Yom Tov, and then hopefully I bring out a large portion from the Yom Tov. B'chol Yom Tov margish ha'adam yisalas ha'nefesh v'haruach. All the more so, he says, mikol shekein, when it comes to Chag HaPesach. B'fra'i. Where does the Ramah emphasize this idea that you have to Yisro Chag from the start? You have to be thinking about how am I going to be different when it's over? Dafka on Chag HaPesach, even more so than the other Yom Tov. Shekesha Adam Orech Hasedur Kedabai Va'omer Hagada B'Kavana U'Mekayim Eskol Amarba L'Saper B'Yisiyas B'Srayim Harezim Meshubach. Like all the Sfarim say, Harezim Meshubach, you become Meshubach. Not just that the mitzvah itself is Meshubach, you become a better person, a different person. Harei Kol Zeh Ma'aleu L'Madregos Kavos U'Lakaros Neskavos. You reach new heights U'Mevi Or L'To Cheshkos Achayim Hayom Yomim. And you bring new light. New light into a life that hopefully already has life. Ba'orcha nira or. Hopefully we have a lot of light already. But we inject more light and more life into our life, which is already hopefully something very real and very wholesome. When you think about Pesach, right? It was such a good ha'ara that Rav Mordechai Willig made when we were in the base measure, for those who were there before Pesach. And he was saying how Pesach is a classic Yom Tov. Right? It's a lot of emphasis on tradition. Right? Minhagim. And he said by him, by his family, he says he tells the same Divrei Torah every year, he tells the same Mashalim every year. And normally would think, Lehefich, where's the Ischachus? There has to be a constant state of Ischachus. But by Pesach, there's an Indian of doing things over and over, and chazering over things that we know already. Right? And re-appreciating that which we already have. Because sometimes when you have something which is so obvious and so pashut, right, it becomes the most easy to forget. Everyone knows the famous words of the Mesilas Yesharim. You'll say, this is also classic. What's the point of even reading it? Because that's the whole point. That's dafka the point. You have to chaz over the obvious things. Chag HaPesach is the Yom Tov of Emunah. It's the Yom Tov that we work on instilling Emunah. The Makos were about Emunah. The Seder night is about Emunah. Pesach is Keneged. The Torah says the three regalim correspond to the three avos. Pesach is Keneged. Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was the first man. It's Yom Tov Amunah. The Matzah is Mechel de Memnusa. It's a time of Amunah. And Amunah is the most obvious thing in the world. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists is the most obvious thing in the world. And yet that's what we're spending the whole week of Pesach working on. Because obvious things are sometimes forgotten. In the Akdamah to the Mesilas Yesharim, the Ramchal, who lived a very short life in the 1700s, the Ramchal writes as follows, Amar HaMechav, I'm not writing this book to tell you anything you didn't know. Hashem says to Klai, so I'm not giving you the Yom Tov of Pesach to teach you something you don't know. You know that I exist, but you need to work on it. Right? That's why I'm saying, I have a Muna Ki Adabra, because I speak about it. And the more I talk about it, the more I make Hashem something real in my life, the more real He becomes. Even though He's the most real thing that there is. It shouldn't be a suffix by us. Why am I writing this book? Why am I writing the famous Mesilas Yesharim, says the Ramchal? To remind you of things that you already know. Things which are very, very obvious to you. I'm going to share with you things throughout the Mesilas Yesharim, which most people know, with great clarity, and there's no doubt about it whatsoever. But dafka, in accordance with the fact that they're so well known, and it's so obvious to all, at the same time, because it's so obvious, we tend to overlook these things, and we tend to forget about these things. So I want to not go on in the Mesilas Yesharim, but I want to chazer together. Because again, this is what the takeaway from Pesach has to be. How real is HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our lives? I want to chazer over Chelek Aleph, Perek Aleph, from another Sefer from the Ramchal. Chelek Aleph, Perek Aleph, from the Sefer Derech Hashem. The Derech Hashem begins with the basic ideas that a Jew needs to know. And I want to review the 6 points that he makes. He sums them up at the end of the Perek. He says, Nimtza klali idios hasharshios ha'ela shesh. There are 6 things that a Jew needs to know. Bivadas. And we do know them. That's what he's telling us in his lesson. You know these things already. But to chazer them over and to make sure that we've internalized them in the proper way. So let's just review them quickly together, barab, and make sure that we have them clear in our minds. What's the first thing that a Jew needs to know? It's a davar pashut, but again, it requires chazara. Kol ish mi Yisrael, tzarech sheyamin v'yeda, sheyesha matzoi rishon kadmon v'nitzchi. We need to know well, that there exists a first being, right? A kadmon, an original source, which is nitzchi, which is eternal. V'hu shehimtzi umamsi. He created and continues to bring into existence, or allows to exist, kol mashanimtzi v'mesiyas, v'hu ha'elokah baruch hu. This is what we call God. This is what we call HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu absolutely exists, and He is the source of all existence. O tzarech she'eda. Furthermore, a person needs to know. Sha'amatsui hazeh yizbarach shemo. This entity that we call HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ein amitas mitziuso museges v'laso klal. We can't fully grasp who He is or what He is. Okay, and now we're starting to approach the paradox of exist. Because Hashem is so real and so obvious, that itself can almost be what obscures us from obscures HaKadosh Baruch Hu from before us. That we fail to recognize Him. Now that's a massive paradox. What do you mean? If He's so obvious, so why do people have sveikos in Amunah? But sometimes something is so obvious, it's almost too obvious, that you start to question if it could even be. Again, that's a very strange paradox that our brains think in that way. If it's so obvious that Hashem exists, so why do I get confused by that? This is part of the challenge. But part of the reason is, he's telling us here, is that we can't know Hashem. We don't understand Hashem. We look at the Rambam's Mor Nevuchim, for example. In the first section of the Mor Nevuchim, in Perek Nun Ches, the Rambam approaches HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because different Rishonim are trying to figure out, how do you describe Hashem? Rav Saadia Gaon tries to describe Hashem. And if you look in the Maharal, he's critical of certain terms that those who came before him are using. If you look in the writings of the Kuzari, right? Yehuda Levi, different lashonos to try to, what is Hashem? If I have to describe God, it's a very hard thing. Hashem is what? Life? Hashem is knowledge? Hashem is existence? What terms? These are some of the terms that Rishonim use. The Rambam writes in the Mor Nevuchim, let's describe Hashem by what He's not. Negative theology. Let's understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu by what He's not. So Hashem is not lacking in knowledge. Why is that better than saying that Hashem is the source of all knowledge? Because I don't know what that means. It's too big. All I know is that Hashem is not lacking in knowledge.
To say Hashem is strong is strange because it's a strength that I can't even wrap my mind around. If you look in the Tanya, Shar Yichud Amun, in the ninth parak, I believe, he says the same way that your hand cannot grasp a thought, you can't hold an idea, a thought in your hand, so too you can't hold the idea that is Hashem in your mind. You can't grasp Hashem. It's not possible. So therefore, on the one hand, it's so obvious and it's so real, and yet the very nature of Hashem being so great makes it impossible to understand Him. So I get kind of trapped in between these things. So therefore, instead of saying that Hashem is strong, the Rambam says Hashem is not weak. Hashem is not weak. I can understand what not weak is better than I can understand what Hashem is strong means. It's hard to grasp that Hashem is strong. Hashem is not lacking in knowledge. Right? Hashem is not divided. Because I can't understand His oneness, be'etzem. So I can say Hashem is not divided. We can use certain terms to better understand Him. So says the Ramchal, again, back in the Derech Hashem, he says, to fully grasp who He is, Eina mitas mitzius som musegas ulaso klal. Only Hashem understands who He is. Ragze noda bo, shu matzo yishalim b'chol minei shlemus. Well, all we do know about Him is that Hashem is absolutely perfect, v'lo nimtza bo chisaron klal. He's lacking nothing. Again, what that means to grasp that shlemus, to understand be'etzem, what it means to be so perfect and so complete, is beyond our ability. But we know that Hashem exists because the Kodesh Baruch Hu communicated with us. We have a Kabbalah from our fathers and from the Nevi'im. We had absolute clarity that Hashem existed at that time in Jewish history. And it's passed, he says, from generation to generation. And that's why the Torah warns us, Pan tishkachas devar b'sher ra'u einecha. Don't forget that which you saw with your own eyes. What do you mean? I saw in my own eyes? Well, my father told to me, and his father told him, that it should be as clear to me, as absolute to me, as if I saw with my own eyes, and Alachas Kam V'Kamas, as my neshama actually was at Har Sinai. And he says, I can bring you many proofs from the world to show you that there must be a God, but he says, I don't want to take that approach right now. I want you as a Jew to believe what you heard from your parents, and what you heard from your parents' parents, and that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicated with us at Har Sinai, and He's absolutely perfect. Gimel, Od. Tzarech Sheyeda, a Jew needs to know. Sha'amato Yazeh Yisbarach Shemo. He named it Tziuso Mitzios Mochrach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence is absolute. It's necessary. It's Mochrach. She'i Efshar Hedero Klal. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never cease to exist. Hashem is not dependent upon anything. There's no specific circumstance by which God exists, and a different circumstance by which God dies or ceases to exist. Hashem's existence is absolute. Od Tzarech Sheyeda. The fourth thing you need to know, Shemitziuso Yisbarach Shemo, Eino Toli Bezulaso Klal, it depends on nothing at all, Elamei Atzma Hu Mochach Mitzias, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not dependent upon anyone or anything. V'chein Tzarech Sheyeda, furthermore you need to know, Shemitziuso Yisbarach Shemo Mitzios Pasher, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is absolutely simple, it's not made up of any parts, and in addition to that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a certain oneness, which again is totally beyond our grasp. We're not able to understand it. V'masha Tzarech Sheyeda Od, jumping ahead, Shamato Yaze Yisbarach Shemo Mochach Shia Echad Velo Yoser Peir Shii Efter Shiimatsu Mitsuyim Rabim Shemitsuyusam Mochach Miatzma. There's nothing else in the world that has to exist. There's nothing else in the world that's absolutely one. And Hashem's oneness is absolute. So sums up the Ramchal. 6 points. Nimsa. Klal Ayadios Hashar Shios Ha'ela Shesh. 6 things that a Jew has to know. And this is Perak Aleph of Chelek Aleph of the Derech Hashem. Obvious things that require chazar. Amitas mitziuso. Number one, the fact that a Kodesh Baruch Hu exists. Should be pashut, but we need to review it. Shleimuso, the perfection of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hechrech himatzo, the necessity of his existence. Number three. Number four, heyosi bilti nitla bezulaso. He does not depend upon anyone else, and there's nothing that we need to do that will either help or harm, which is hard for us to understand, because what do you mean? We always emphasize HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets nachas ruach from the things that we do. But be'etzem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not dependent upon anything in the world. Pshituso, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's absolute simplicity. And number six, Yichudo, His absolute oneness. These are the 6 things that a Jew needs to chazar on a daily basis to understand. And that's what the Yom Tov Pesach, the Isru Chag of Pesach, the takeaway of Pesach, has to be that a Jew walks out with a new clarity for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mar says in Pesachim Kufta Zayin, Chayiv Adam Liros Es Atzmo, Kiilu Hu Yatzim Mitzrayim. Or the Lashon of the Rambam, Laharos Es Atzmo. It has to be real. Pesach is Yom Tov of things being real, absolute. The matzah is very real, no additives. It's pashut. What you see is what you get. It's very, very real. The whole Pesach experience is about working on things that are real. The whole point of the Makos was to make Hashem real. Kriyas Yamsuf. I tried this year. We spoke about it in the Sichos Haran. I shared with you how Rav Chatzko Levenstein, right, would imagine himself sitting on a bench next to a mitzri, scratching himself with lice, and he'd sit there smiling and laughing to himself. Or he made two rows of chairs and he'd walk in between. Kriyas Yamsuf, and it was very real to him. So I followed along during the laning on Shvi Shel Pesach to Kriyas Yamsuf. I was following along in English and I was just trying to picture. This was real, this happened. This happened to us. This is a real thing. Hashem is real. And the Kriyas Yamsuf was real, and the Makos are real. And we came out of Mitzrayim, we came to our Sinai, and that experience was real. And he says, Dad, I could bring you a lot of proofs from the natural world to show you that there has to be a God. But I don't want to tell you that. Because you have something more real. You have a Kabbalah from your parents and from your grandparents that the Ramban writes in Vayeschanan. This is the proof of all proofs that a Kodesh Baruch Hu exists. And we have a Kabbalah that we saw it with our own eyes. And we stood at our Sinai. And that's what Yetzias Mitzrayim was all about. Shmos Parak Gimel Pasuk Yud Beis. How do you know you've achieved Yetzias Mitzrayim? Tavdunas Elokim Al Harazeh. When you see Hashem absolutely clearly. When you walk through a Kriyas Yamsuf and you can point to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Zeh Keli Van Veil. Right, Marin Be'etzvarash, he says. Rosh Shifcha Al-Yam, the Shifcha by the sea, was able to see something absolutely clear. So what did we see at our Sinai? What's the tachlis of our Sinai? If the Pasuk says, Befurash, that how do you know when you've achieved, Hashem says to Moshe, by the burning bush, how do you know when we're out of Mitzrayim, Tabdunas Elokim Al-Harazah? So what? So now, okay? So if that is the, so to speak, the punchline, if that is the moment of complete Yetzias Mitzrayim, if that's Geula, so what was our Sinai? What's the lesson from our Sinai? If that's what we're trying to get to on Pesach, and now we're continuing to build towards that in the Yemei Sfiras Omer, so what exactly was our Sinai? So let's review a famous piece of Noam Elimelech, that again I'm sure many of us have heard, but it requires review. He has it in two places, in Parshas Yisrael, and in the back of the Sefer in the Likutei Shoshana, he says it with a slightly different nusach, but it's the same idea. The Weinberger quotes this all the time, Mashpia is very fond of this idea, as we should be. The pasuk says as follows: "Vayedaber Elokim es kol edvar me'ela lemor." Kodesh Baruch Hu at our Sinai, beginning of Parashat Parshas Yisro. Hashem spoke all of these things, saying, and then Hashem began to say. And what did Hashem say? A lot of things. Anochi Hashem lokecha lo yielecha v'chulu v'chulu v'chulu. Kodesh Baruch Hu introduced us whatever it is that we heard directly from Hashem. What we heard from Moshe, 613 mitzvot, whatever it is, Hashem had a lot to say. But the Noam Elimelech says, "Be careful how you read the pasuk. Don't lose sight of what the ikar is." And therefore, how does he read the pasuk? Vayidaber Elokim es kol dvar me'ela. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said all these things. Leimor anochi Hashem lokecha. That's it. Leimor anochi Hashem lokecha. Dinei ayidei Torah odem bali dei dveikus. Vezeh es kol hadvar. What's kol hadvar me'ela? What's the point of kol hadvar me'ela? Everything that a Jew is doing. Pesach helps us to refocus. What's the tachlis of my existence? Leimor anochi Hashem lokecha. To recognize, be able to say, to declare and to say with clarity, I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists. Anochi Hashem, hu advekus ve'emuna. That's it. That's the entirety. That's the entirety, and that's why Pesach, the Yom Tov of Emuna, brings us. Hashem says to Moshe, you'll know you're there when you stand by our Sinai. When you're able, leimor anochi Hashem alokech. Likutei Shoshana, he says the same thing. Vayedaber es kol advarim leimor anochi, ratzalomar. Shehashem yizbarach baruch hu. Omar lanu kol advarim. Hashem said to us all sorts of things. Hainu kol haTorah kula. What's it about? Kedei leimor anochi Hashem lokecha. Hashem says, I have a lot to say to you, but I really want to say one thing to you, and that is, I am Hashem your God. And mida keneged mida, that has to be, right? The response is exactly the same thing on our end. Hashem, we have so many things we want to do for you, but we want to remind ourselves that the tachlis of everything that we do for you, whether it's keeping kosher, or keeping Shabbos, or putting on tefillin, or not wearing Shabbos. Everything that I do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is an expression, is my leimor, of my a commitment to Anochi Hashem Elokecha, my absolute realization that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you control everything in the world. There's a great story. There was a chassid of the Baal Tanya. Chassid of the Baal Tanya one time, was a businessman, very successful businessman. And he was sitting one time, he was going over his ledgers, going over his accounts, and he was adding up the different investments, right? And he got to the bottom of the column where you write the total, right? Subtotal, total. Yeah? Sach HaKol. And he wrote, he got to the bottom, he said, Sach HaKol. Sach HaKol. What does it all add up to? Sach HaKol. Inod Movado. Sach HaKol. Inod Movado.
Not Sach HaKol 1,300,000, right? No, Sach HaKol, when I add it all up, when I add up all my different business moves, you know what it adds up to? It adds up to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made me be successful in business. Sach HaKol, the bottom line of every single thing that I'm involved in, is Eino Milvato. This Noam HaMelech, I'm sure many of us have heard. But I want to share with you a piece from the Pi Zetzin, the Derech HaMelech, that maybe you haven't heard. And that is in Parshas Vayetzeh, in the Derech HaMelech, Tafresh Sadi. He quotes this piece of Noam HaMelech, and he says, isn't this an obvious thing? Again, today we're spending time chazering over obvious things. That's the avod of Isruchak, to make sure that we don't walk out of the Yom Tov like paupers with nothing in our hands. So he quotes, he says, I quote this idea, Mizakeni HaKadosh, the Rebbe of Melech Zatzal. And then he says the following. He says that Remelech is telling us, Kol tachas haTorah mitzvos hushenedas Hashem. The tachas of everything we do, Sach HaKol, you know, that's the punchline. That's what it should say. When I add up all of, when I get to Shemayim after 120, and I'm looking over my account, and I see I put on tefillin X number of times, and I learned Torah X number of minutes, and I did this, you know, and this is how many kazeisim I ate over Pesach, because we learned the Gra that every kazeis that you eat is a mitzvah. Right? Was anyone Zocha, by the way? Tzvira Shavimina, 48 matzah, 22, 18? Which, close? Okay, good. That's good. 18. That's weird. We had three Kabbalahs. How many matzahs are Tzvira Shein on Achon Shafesach? So the minimum shear is 18. The maximum shear is 48. Okay, you got those 48 Kabbalahs. Kol tachas haTorah mitzvos hushenedas Hashem. So says the Pia Zetzner, he quotes the Noam HaMelech, Parshas Yisro. And then he says, I don't understand. L'chora Yishol Hashem. A person might ask the following question. You tell me the question. If kol advar me'elef, the point of everything is lemor enoch Hashem Elokecha, so ask the question on the Ribono Shel Olam. So why did you give us everything else? Right, what do I need everything else for? So what do I need kashrus for? Why do I need things to distract me, only to then demand of myself, by the way, don't lose sight that the tachlis of everything is enoch Hashem Elokecha. It's simply that a yid should have a munah and a kadosh baruch hu and veikus and a kadosh baruch hu. So what do you need to confuse me with all these other things? Oh, so let's see what he says. Ulechor yishal hashol. A person might ask, lama trichem kol kach harbe mitzvos? Halo bedibur echad sheomer lanu shehashem yisbarach nimtza. Why can't I just why can't I call it Torah kula b? Say for derech Hashem from the Ramchal chelak aleph perak aleph, and I'll chazor over the existence of Hashem. That's great, and then I'm done, and that's everything. Hashem says he exists, and we know it, and that's it. So he says, no, that's not so posh. Only a person who has a superficial understanding of what it means to know Hashem and to believe in Hashem, only such a person would ask such a question. I want to read that line again. You know what our entire life is? Is working on Leimor Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Our entire life, we need to know about this, we need to work on this, that halavai, when a person leaves this world with Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad on his lips, he means it and he knows what he's saying. Halavai, at the end of his life, he should be able to internalize an existence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Kuli Hai V'Ulai. And halavai, after a lifetime of hard work, you'll be able to say, I believe, Ani Ma'amin Be'emunah Shleima. I believe wholeheartedly that a Kadosh Baruch Hu exists. Halavai, after a lifetime. And it's not just because the Derech Hashem told us Hashem is really so great that he's hard to understand, and that's why the Rambam wanted to better understand Hashem through the negative, because it's too hard to grasp in the positive. That's not the reason it's hard, says the Pia Zetzner. Forget trying to understand the etzem, what Hashem is. But just to be able to say, I believe that Amunah Shleima, there's nothing in the world that could shake me from that Amunah. That itself is a tremendous amount of work. But Chazal tiknu lanu, that's why Chazal are mitaking, that when we say Kriya Shema, the Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud Gimel, Laham lechoshol yizbarach shu lamal lamatu v'dalad ruchas olam, that during Shema I work on trying to internalize that Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. To internalize that in a very real and deep way. And I chazar it over every day, more than once a day. Kriya Shema in the morning, Kriya Shema at night. The Baal HaTanya asked a very interesting question, and then he answered it himself. I read once in a sefer, the Baal HaTanya asked, I brought this, I didn't bring this actually, I found this prop in the room to use.
He said, why is it, if you look at Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So first of all, the Dalet is big, and the Dalet looks like a hammer. Right? That's what the Baal HaTanya said. The Dalet looks like a hammer, and more than that. Right? We elongate the Dalet. We make the Dalet big in the way that we pronounce it. Echad. We try to lengthen the enunciation of the Dalet. Why is that so? And then the Baal HaTanya answered the question. He said, you know why the Dalet's like a hammer? Because a Jew needs to work to hammer this idea into his head. You need to hammer this idea into your head. So different people have different ways of saying echad, right? Different ways of elongating. Sometimes it sounds, some people are like, it sounds like a jackhammer, you know, you have to like really crack your skull to get it in there. So Baal HaTanya said, yeah, you have to work on this. It's not a simple thing. So says the PSSR, that's exactly, Hashem gave you an entire lifetime to try to internalize in a very real way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists. At a time of Kabbalah Soma Chashamayim, at a time of Mesiras Nefesh, what you're supposed to be thinking, I would prepare to die for Kadosh Baruch Hu when I say Shema. I internalize that Hashem is everywhere. Why? Because sometimes an idea is in our head, and it's part of many ideas. Sometimes the fact that Hashem exists is the same as I had a banana for breakfast. Two ideas floating around my head. So says the PSSR, no, it can't be that those two yedios are on the same level of yedia, of understanding. He knows a lot of things. This is one of the things that he knows. The ein yedia zo poelis al shar yediosaf. And this yedia that I ate a banana, lashon avar, right? I previously ate a banana, is not any more active in my life at this moment. Then Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Then that fact that I know that God once upon a time created the world. Those two things can be equal, unfortunately. And you can think about one thing to the exclusion of another thing. Right? He says, Chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom, a person should live the way. And the PSSR gives a mashal. He says, imagine you read an idea in a sefer. You come across a new idea in a sefer. He says, a derech chadash b'drusha b'chasidus. And you're very much nispal from that idea. So he says, what's going to happen? If you really love that idea, and you really internalize that idea, and you want that to become the new framework for how you serve HaKadosh Baruch, what happens? Everything, every single thing that you see is seen through what? Through that perspective of that idea. You read a Pasuk in Chumash, and you fit that Pasuk in Chumash into that idea, or to understand it through that idea. It becomes, right, it permeates everything that you do. Because that idea was Powell. It took root by him. So he says, that's the same idea. When it comes to Yediyas Hashem, it can't just be one of the Yediyas that we have. It has to be Leimor Anochi Hashem Elokecha. It's called Dvar Me'ila. It has to be that when I'm actually putting on my tefillin, I really feel that it's an expression of this one idea that I'm so obsessed with. Which is what? The idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists. And he goes on, and it's beautiful. He talks about the importance of taking it to heart. I'll just jump ahead to the end. He says, "Of Avatorah Meramezes Lemur Anochi, Lo Ledas Es Anochi Vovad." It's not just enough to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Rakam Lemur Anochi. How do you know when you get to a point where you're Lemur Anochi? You walk around all day saying Anochi Hashem Elokecha. How do you know? How do you know when you've become, when you've internalized it, right? When, like the Baal HaTanya said, you've hammered it into your head. How do you know when you're there? He says, "Rak Gam Sheyuchol Lomar LaAchir, Lemur LaAchir." He says, when your life is so much connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that when people see you, it's way more. You are an expression of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, that other people look at you and they see godliness, that's a sign that you're living with it. That's a sign that you've internalized it in the right way. Ki Adam HaKorei L'chol Amiras Shiyotis Mepea Adam Amir V'Dibur V'afilum Adavar Safik Lo La'adam V'raka Pisecha Katon O'Gadol Misharis Adavar V'Omra Gam Kim Korem Amira. And then he comforts us and he says, but the truth is that anything that a person says, if you say something, that means it's an idea that's true by you. So the goal is that we should be able to say it, but more than just saying it. We should be able to say it with the way that we live our lives. That someone should be able to look at you and to be able to see that it's very real by you. And you chazer it over and over and over. Leimor Anochi Hashem Elokecha. To hammer it into a person's head, that it should be something that it's the very essence of who you are. In 1968, the Satmar Rebbe had a stroke. And the Satmar Rebbe said to his doctor, Dr. Bender, he said, I'm not going to be able, I don't think I can write anymore. So the doctor said, why do you think you can't write anymore? Try. Try to write. Some rabbi felt that his body was too broken from the stroke. He wasn't going to be able to ever write again. Doctor said, no, try. Maybe you can write a little something. So they got a pen and a piece of paper. And they put it in front of the Saba Rabbi. And he wrote the word, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So the doctor said to the Gabbai, what did he write? So he explained to him. He wrote the first words of the Ten Commandments. He wrote, you know, the absolute belief in the existence of God. And the doctor said, given his condition, right? I was pushing him to write something. Given his condition, it's clear to me from the fact that he wrote these three words that there's nothing that he thinks about more than these three words. It's obvious to me, given his state, his overall state, the fact that he was able to just jot down something and that he picked these three words, it's very clear to me, the doctor said, from my experience, that this must be the thing that he thinks about more so than anything else. That he reviews it more than anything else. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Because the Sadeh Rebbe had internalized, lemur, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. It had become a part of who he was. It was very real by him. And a person has to want it in a very real way. It has to bother us. We have to ask ourselves, Rosh Shifcha Aliyah, if a simple hand made by the sea was able to perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the point of Zek Kelev Van Meir, she could point to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we have to ask ourselves, do I want it as badly as a Shifcha by the Yam? Have I ever experienced Hashem? Like a simple Shifcha Aliyah coming from the 49th level of Tumah and Mitzrayim? Have I ever felt that I was able to point to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with absolute clarity, to identify and to recognize the Kodesh Baruch Hu in my life? Does that bother me? When the Rebbe Rashab of Lubavitch, the fifth Rebbe of Lubavitch, when he was about 4 or 5 years old, he came to visit his grandfather, the Tzemach Tzedek. He came to the Tzemach Tzedek, and he burst into tears. So his grandfather said, what's wrong? So he says, in Cheder today, I was learning Bereishis Perek Yirchas. And I learned, Vayera Elav Hashem, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu appeared to Avraham Avinu. And I'm very bothered. Why has Hashem never appeared to me? That's what he said to his grandfather. He said, why does Hashem appear to Avraham? Why doesn't Hashem appear to me? I want to see Hashem also. So Tzemach Tzedek Lubavitch said back to him, he said, you have to understand. He said, Avraham was 99 years old. And he had a bris milah. Which means that at 99 years old, he felt that he still needs to try to attach himself more to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He felt the need to continue to grow in his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He had a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he felt to the point of Mamis Mesiras Nevesh, Mesiras Aguf, to have a bris milah at the age of 99. He felt so strongly that I need to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu more. He said, a person who's 99 years old and has a bris milah, a person who's 99 years old and realizes that there's still more to hammer Anochi Hashem Elokecha into my head in a more real way, to the point that if a person has a stroke, he's still able to jot down the only three words he could write is Anochi Hashem Elokecha. He says, such a person is zocha to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu appear to him. So don't be disappointed as a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old. You haven't yet seen Hashem in that way. Hashem will appear to you too, but you have to keep working on it. You have to keep hammering that dalit of echad into a person's head. To make it real. Chayim adam liras atzvam. If on Pesach we could see ourselves as if we left Mitzrayim, we also have to see the HaKadosh Baruch Hu who took us out of Mitzrayim. I want to share with you a letter that maybe some of you have seen. It was making its way. I remember at one point people were passing this around in English, emailing it to one another. It's a letter that appears in the volume Nefesh Shimshon, from Shimshon David Pinkus, Zatzal, in the volume of Igros Umamarim on page 43. And it's called A Michtav Chizuk Leben Yeshiva. You heard this letter? You've seen this letter? It's Kavalik. If you haven't seen this letter, you have to hear this letter. He wrote to a bacher. A bacher wrote to me, says, I can see from your letter, from the way that you describe sort of what's going on in your life, I can see that you're a Baal Avoda, you're a person who's trying to grow, and you feel that you've reached certain heights in Avodas Hashem, but you've gotten to a point where you feel stuck. And you're not quite sure how to take your Avodas Hashem to the next level. And you're writing to me for advice. You know, who can help you? What can help you to take your Avoda to the next level? Al-Kain Ani Atein Lecha Shem, I'm going to give you a name, someone you can reach out to. I'm going to give you an address of someone you can reach out to. She'elav tifneh v'hu yazor lecha. I'm going to give you a name and an address of someone you can reach out to, and this person will be able to help you. Who is this individual that I'm describing? Karim lo Hashem Yisbach. Let me tell you about him. Hu chazak mahod. He's very capable. She'be'emes hu bar hakol. After all, he created everything. V'ani yodea besod. He says, let me tell you, I have some secret information about this individual who we call Hashem Yisbach. Shugam oev oscha ba'ofen ishi. He loves you. He has a personal... I know maybe you feel like you haven't met him, but he loves you very much. It's a secret that I know. I want to share with you. That this individual that we call Hashem Yisbach loves you in a very personal way. V'umechake b'chilyon einayim shetifnei elav. And he's waiting longingly that you should turn to him. It's not hard to find his address. In fact, you can meet up with him anywhere you want, any time of day. Kipshuto. As you're reading this letter, you could begin the communication with him. He's accessible, he's available. You don't have to make an appointment 3 weeks in advance and travel some far distance and pay many tolls. No, he's available, he's accessible. And then he writes as follows. And he co-saves that. Why am I writing this? People think that there's a concept of tefillah, and there's a concept of doing mitzvos, and there's a concept of seeking madregos, and there's a concept of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's an idea of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kol ze nachon. It's true. Hashem is a nice idea. Tefillah is a nice idea. Mitzvos is a nice bar to do mitzvos. It's a good idea. It's a nice concept. He says it's all true. Aval eino ha'ikar, but that's not the main thing. That's not the main idea. A concept of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ha'ikar hu she'Kadosh Baruch Hu ishius berura. The ikar is to realize that Hashem is absolutely real. He's exceptionally real. Chai v'kayim. He's alive and well. He's accessible. She'efshar litvos ito kesher ishi. You can have a very lively, real connection. Personal relationship with him. Ula'olam lo yisachzav misha asakach. And a person who does have that connection will never feel frustrated. And will never feel lost. I'll never feel lonely. I'll never feel who's going to help me at this juncture in my life where I feel stuck. Umasha davar yoser pashut uprakti yoser tov yoser moil. And the more simple, and the more practical, and the more real your conversations and your relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu is, the more it's going to work. The more Hashem is real. Chayav adam liras atzma. You need to see yourself as if you left Mitzrayim. It has to be real. It's part of the night of Pesach. But it's also very important that we walk out of Pesach and Hashem is very real. Very real. Extremely real. You're writing to me because you think I'm an Adam Gadol B'Yisrael, which Rapinkus was, and you think I'm going to give you advice how I can help you to get to the next stage, which I can. He says, let me tell you something more simple, more basic. Turn to Hashem. Talk to him, ask him for help. Rapinkus says, anyone who gives you different advice than this, chaval al ishtadlus, you're wasting your time. Not that it's not going to bear fruits. You might find a certain Rebbe, might go to a particular shir, speak to a particular Talmud Chacham or Tzaddik, and get advice, and those things will help you. But chaval that you're going to waste all your time taking a roundabout route to get what you want. Teilech yashar l'misha yachol azor be'emes. Go straight to the one who can help you. And he'll help you right away. Hachosin b'kavod gadol. Says Rosh Hashanah Pinkus, I signed my letter with great honor and great respect for you, the person who wrote me this letter. Leben Torah mechapis be'emes. A person who's seeking be'emes to be a ben Torah, v'achaval she'eini yodea heichem lechapis. He says, the only thing that's lacking in your life is you don't know where to look. You don't know where to search. You're searching in the right way. You want all the right things. And you're turning to all sorts of different avenues to seek eitza, to seek azara, assistance in everything that you want to be. He says, but turn to the source. Why not go straight to the source? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Rapink is not an inyan. It's not a concept. Hashem is not an idea. Not a theoretical, you know, abstract idea. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is absolute. He's very real. And when a person knows that, a person's comforted by it. A person has to be comfortable with Hashem, and a person has to be comforted by Hashem. To know that Hashem can help me. They tell a story of Mordechai ibn Shchiz was exceptionally poor. Imamish didn't have anything. His whole life was terrible suffering. Very, very poor. The story is about selling the little bit that he had to get an esrog. All those types of stories is always of Mordechai ibn Shchiz. But Mordechai ibn Shchiz was so poor that one time, his wife just like couldn't take it anymore. A relative came to visit and saw how they were living, and she was so embarrassed and she was so broken by her poverty and her hunger, she just broke down crying to this relative. She said, I can't live like this. I can't go on like this. This is crazy. So the relative came to Mordechai in his private little room, and he walks in and he sees Mordechai singing and dancing. He's singing Shiros with Tishbachos to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he heard his wife crying outside. And the relative was very upset. He says, but Mordechai, how can you do this? Your poor wife, she's starving, the children are hungry, and your situation is very dire, and everyone's crying, and your wife's crying bitter tears, and you're sitting here and you're singing and dancing, as if there's nothing to worry about. So he says, let me explain to you. He says, my wife is turning to me to supply her with her needs. He says, she has what to cry about. He says, I have nothing. He says, but I turn my eyes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who has everything. So he says, so I have what to rejoice about. So it depends. Who do you rely on? Who do you turn to help you, to assist you? That's what Pinchas is saying in this letter. You can turn to all sorts of things, but chaval shtadlus, you're wasting your time. Turning to all sorts of sources that are not the source. Turn to the source. Have a muna, turn to a HaKadosh Baruch. The Kabriner of Moshe of Kabrin, one time was sitting down to breakfast. And all of a sudden, a chassid of the Kabriner comes. He comes, all of a sudden he's overcome with terrible worry about something. And he comes, he walks right as the Kabriner is about to sit down to breakfast. And the Kabriner takes in his hand a cup of coffee, and he says, Baruch Ata, right? Starts to make the bracha slowly with kavana, Hashem, Malkeinu, Shakol Niyeh Bidvara. And he goes and he starts to drink his coffee and he's enjoying his breakfast. He's totally ignoring this chassid who's standing there. And then the Kabriner finally looks up and says, Nu, Reb Zalman, you're still standing here. You're not like your father. You're not like your father. He says, when your father was worried about something by business, he would come and he would stand by my door and I'd make a bracha, I'd make a shahakol, Shakol Niyeh Bidvara, and your father would walk away. Oh, he would get the chizuk that he needed. Shakol Niyeh Bidvara. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides how things are going to be. He says, by you showed up and I made that same shahakol with the same kavana, trying to inject that emunah into you, and you're still standing there waiting to ask for advice. He says, turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't you realize Shakol Niyeh Bidvara? So this chassid, this Reb Zalman, stood there for a minute. He started to think about it, and then he walked away. He said, okay, Rebbe, I got it. Good. I heard the shahakol. I needed a little bit of a perish in the shahakol. He said, but now I got it. Now I got it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is real. HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And too many people live their life with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as an inyan, as a concept, as an idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kotzker, the Emes V'Amuna, which we have, collected teachings of the Kotzker, in Oschaf, he says in the Pasuk, Lo Yebucha El Zar. Pasuk says in Tilim Pei Aleph, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lo Yebucha El Zar. There should not be within you foreign gods. There should not be amongst you foreign gods. The Kotzker said, El Lo Yebucha Zar. Kotzker, in a few words, turns the Pasuk on its head. Not only should you not have a Avodah Zar amongst you, but El, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, Lo Yebucha Zar. God should not be foreign to you. Hashem shouldn't be a foreign concept to you. Hashem shouldn't be this abstract thing that I can't wrap my mind around, despite the fact that, like the Rambam told us, and like the Derech Hashem told us, Hashem is something we can't grasp. And Hashem, we said from the Baal HaTanya, Nishar Yichav Emuna Perek Tes, is like an idea that can't be grasped in your hand. Hashem can't be grasped by your mind. That's true. But Hashem doesn't have to be a stranger to you. Hashem doesn't have to be foreign to you. He writes it off Kuf Samach, something we spoke about earlier in Rabbi Nachman. Vashevos El Avavecha Ki Hashem Hu Elokim. Says the Kotzker, Sheyakira Adam Belibo Ki Hashem Hu Elokim. Vashevos El Avavecha. Take it to heart. Take it to your heart. Don't let Hashem be a theoretical idea. Don't let Hashem just be something that exists in your mind. Lo Yebucha El Zar. Don't let Hashem be strange to you and foreign to you. Someone once came to Shlomo Zalman Orbach, who's just his yard sign. Someone came to Rosh Shlomo Zalman and they asked him, I read this one of the biographies from Rosh Shlomo Zalman. They asked him, they said, Rebbe, Rosh Shlomo Zalman's tefillah, people don't realize. By some gedolim, we focus so much on their greatness in Torah that we totally overlook their greatness in Avodah Shebelev, namely tefillah. The Chazon Ish was meiridik in tefillah. The Chazon Ish said, I worked harder on tefillah than I did on anything else. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach, in his older years, after he would daven, he would have to go take a nap because Shmuel Esther would knock him out so much. That's so much energy he put into his daven. So someone came to Shlomo Zalman and they said, Rebbe, how can I work on davening? How can I work on davening? How can I come to a place of davening like you? So he said, I'll tell you, I'll give you the best advice. That's what he said. This is the Lashon. It's brought in the Sefer. I'll give you the best advice. The best advice is that when you say 100 brachos a day, he says, make sure that your baruch is really a baruch and make sure your ata is really an ata. That means when you say Baruch Ata Hashem, right? Whatever, however you want to translate it, different opinions in the Rishonim. Blessed are you Hashem, or you are the source of all blessing Hashem. But when you say Ata, make sure your Ata is really Ata. When you say you, when I say, well, who am I talking to? Who's you? Who's you? Do I know who I'm talking to? Do I perceive that I'm talking to a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Or is, again, it's just an inyan shel tefillah? Like he writes in this letter, like Rav Pinchas writes, it's just an idea of Hashem. Or is it you? You? The Kesher Ishi, a personal relationship. And Hashem loves me, and He's interested in me, and He wants to talk to me, and He wants to be connected to me. So Rav Osai, this is the takeaway for Pesach, the Yom Tov of Emunah. The Isru Chag that we're celebrating together here. To attach ourselves, to make sure that the Ramah says, the first halach you need to know on Pesach is that you walk away with something. You need to walk away with something, a davar pasha. A davar pasha, but a davar pasha that requires a lot of chazar. And that is Leimor Anochi Hashem Lokecha. that Kriyas Yamsuf is real, and standing at our Sinai was real, and all of these things are real, and Hashem is waiting for us to turn to Him. And we should be so thankful that we have a God who's so real and so connected and so personal and so interested in us. I want to read to you just a lashon from the Beis Aharon, from Aharon of Karlin, in his writings by Shvi Shel Pesach. He says, what's the takeaway? We're not here only to... The point of doing this together after Pesach is not just to reflect, it's also to express thanks to Kadosh Baruch Hu for the awesome opportunity He gave us these last 7 or 8 days. To internalize a little bit, to work on our emunah, to feel strengthened through the matzah and through the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. We need to thank Kadosh Baruch Hu. What do we say throughout the tefillos of the Shlosh Regalim? We say, V'hasiyenu Hashem Elokeinu es birchas mo'adecha. Hasiyenu Hashem Elokeinu es birchas mo'adecha. So in the Beis Aharon, Rav Aharon of Karlin writes, B'shem Rav Baruch Hu, Rav Baruch Hu Mezhbush, that's all. He says, Rav Baruch Hu Mezhbush used to explain, when we bench, and you can take this with you every time you bench, it's beautiful, and you can take it into every Shemona Esrei, I'll show you in a minute how. And it's certainly the feeling that we have coming away from the V'hasiyenu Hashem Elokeinu es birchas mo'adecha. Rav Baruch Hu Mezhbush used to say, No delacha Hashem Elokeinu, al shinchalta, lavo seinu, eretz chamdu, v'chulu v'chulu, benching. And then what do we say? What happens in the next paragraph, which is really the same paragraph? V'ala kol Hashem Elokeinu, anachnu modim lach. Rav Baruch Hu Mezhbush used to say, Perish, al kol davar anu modim lacha, al zeh she'ata Hashem Elokeinu. Hashem, we thank you so much for all the things that you do for us, because you are our God. But you know what? V'ala kol. We thank you, Hashem, for everything. You gave us Eretz Yisrael, you took us out of Mitzrayim, everything that we're saying in the paragraph of No Delacha. But then what do we say? V'ala kol, Hashem Elokeinu anachnu modim lach. V'ala kol, more than anything, you know what I'm thankful for? V'ala kol, what are we thankful for? Hashem Elokeinu. The fact that you are Hashem Elokeinu anachnu modim lach. The fact that you are our God. The very fact that you are our God, we thank you more than anything. And therefore, says the Beis Aharon, V'hasiyenu Hashem Elokeinu. What does V'hasiyenu mean? What does V'hasiyenu mean?
Lift us up.
V'hasiyenu Hashem Elokeinu means there should be an aliyah of, you come out of Pesach, V'hasiyenu Hashem Elokeinu, there should be what? An elevation of Hashem Elokeinu. You should be more connected to Anochi Hashem Elokecha. That leimor anochi Hashem Elokecha, that kol edvar meila leimor anochi Hashem Elokecha. The svarim bring by slanim or svarim. Vasienu is a lashon like you have in the Mishnayis and Rosh Hashanah, Parak Beis Mishnah Beis. Right? That originally how you masiyon and masuos. What do they used to do to inform people that it was Rosh Chodesh? They would wave. Yeah, they would wave torches. Vasienu is not only a lashon of lifting up. Vasienu means it should be lit up. V'asi'enu Hashem Elokeinu, you come out of the Yom Tov of Pesach. V'asi'enu Hashem Elokeinu, there should be an igniting of Hashem Elokeinu, of a realization of V'ala kol Hashem Elokeinu anachnu modim lach. And this var, you can say the exact same var, you can put it into modim. Every day when you say modim. Modim anachnu lach. Right? When you daven Shmoneh Esrei, modim, what am I modiming? I'm thanking you Hashem, what? I'm thanking Hashem Elokeinu, the fact that you are Hashem Elokeinu. A modal lefanecha, that what? That you are Hashem Elokeinu. Now I'm thanking you because you are God who does X, Y, and Z for me. I'm thankful for the very fact that you are our God. So Baruch Hashem, we've had such a schus, so many days to internalize this idea. We spent the last bit of time together internalizing this idea. So Baruch Hashem, we should feel it in a real way. We're living in a time of tremendous hester panim. Like the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says, you're going to fall into the Shaar Nun before Mashiach comes. There's going to be a time of, as far as we explain, Sha'arnun is kfira, not because it's a lack of amunah. But you come out of a Yom Tov of Pesach, v'asi'enu Hashem Elokeinu, with the clarity of Hashem Elokeinu, that Hashem is not an inyan. Hashem is not an abstract concept that Jews believe in. Hashem is a reality. He's chai v'kayim. And to have a kesher ishi with Him, a personal connection to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, even in a time of Hester Panim. I'll conclude with one final story. Amazing story. You have to hear this story. There were some Jews who survived the Holocaust. Mamash at the very end of the war. The war wasn't even over yet. But they had the Nazis had abandoned wherever they were, whatever camp they had been in. A fellow by the name of Yudel Ziegelman. So he had a couple of chevre. They had lost their, Mamash had lost their entire families. And the war was still raging, although it was coming to an end. And they were able to leave whatever camp they were in. They found a non-Jew who was willing to take them in. They were hiding out in this barn of this fellow, this non-Jewish fellow, who was very, very kind to them. It was almost Pesach. Now think about that for a second. Think about what that means. Mamish, the end of World War II. You just walked out of a concentration camp. It's a few days before Pesach. says, was mamish, Yitzias Mitzrayim for them. But also with tremendous sadness. They lost their mishpacha. The war was still technically going on. There were still Nazis roaming the streets, rounding up Jews. Their lives were still in danger, even though Baruch Hashem, they had survived that particular camp. And it was a very, a lot of, you know, needless to say, mixed emotions, to say the least. Yeah? So they're trying to get ready for Pesach. So they turned to this non-Jewish farmer. They said, they wanted so badly to make matzah. He said, can you get us some flour? Is it possible you can get us some grains, some flour, and grind it up? He was able to get them to get a knock on the door of the barn one day. He's able to get them a little bit of flour. Maror. The Chevra had plenty of maror in their lives. They didn't. There was enough maror. But they were able to get a little bit of maror. Wine. Wine wasn't shaykh. To get some flour, to make matzah. Yeah. They were able, with great difficulty, they were able to make a little matzah. And they had maror. They didn't have wine. And it was right before Pesach. The mamash was right before Pesach. They didn't have wine. But they were doubly upset. They were upset that they didn't have wine. They weren't going to be able to make Mekayim Abrikos. So it's okay. But more than that, they were upset. They were so upset they didn't even know how do you have a Seder without wine? What do you do? Halacha Maisa, how do you operate when you have matz, right? You make kiddush over the matz. And like, what do you do? What's the order of events? They had no clue what to do. And they were very upset. Rabbanu Shalom, come on. Help us out. Kodesh Baruch Hu, we're experiencing a little bit me'avdus l'cheiros here. And we're trying our best, but we're stuck. We don't even know how to run a Seder in such a thing. It was a very broken feeling. Mixed emotions, but again, a very broken feeling. They said it was Erev Pesach. They get a knock on the barn door. It's the farmer's son. It's an unbelievable story. They get a knock on the barn door. The farmer's son says, I have something for you guys. And he comes in with a piece of paper in his hand. He says, it was a very windy day. He said, some papers blew through the back of our... I was out in the, you know, milking the cow, out in the yard. He says, some papers blew by. And I picked it up to see what it was, and I noticed that, I think this is Hebrew writing, I'm not even sure, but I figured, you know, maybe you could see what it is, you could interpret it. And he gives them a page of the Shulchan Aruch. A page of the Shulchan Aruch, Simin Tov Pei Gimel, how to have a Seder without wine. Now think about that. Why was a page of Shulchan Aruch blowing through this farmer's yard? Because some Nazi Yimach Shemo probably came into some sweet little Yid's house, right? And probably killed him on the spot. And took his farm off the shelf. And he ripped apart his Shulchan Aruch. Yeah? And maybe even torched it. And a couple pages blew away. And now, here, who knows where that page has been flying around throughout the war. And all of a sudden, there passed a couple of Jews turned to a Kodesh Baruch Hu and said, Moshe, we need your help. We mamish need your help. And all of a sudden, the piece of Shulchan Aruch, Tav Pei Gimel, Simen Tav Pei Gimel blows through their backyard. And they're able to figure out how to have a Seder without wine. And it was an unbelievable feeling to them, a reminder to them, after all they had been through, that Kodesh Baruch Hu is 100% real. Kodesh Baruch Hu is 100% real. We just need to chazer it over again and again and again, to internalize that long dalet, to hammer it into our heads, that the tachlis of everything is Anochi Hashem Elokecha. So Mirtz Hashem, we should all be zocha. V'asi'enu Hashem Elokeinu. We should be lit up, coming out of a Yontov of Pesach. We should be lit up with this idea, that no delecha Hashem Elokeinu. Be thankful for so many things. We had so much matzah. We had so many mitzvot. Over the course of so many halas. And hopefully we heard so many shiurim. And we learned so much Torah. We had so many wonderful experiences. But V'ala kol. Anachnu modim lach. We thank you, Kodesh Baruch Hu, just for the very fact that you are Hashem Elokeinu. And Amir Tashem, as we internalize that in a deep way, will be zocha to remove all of that hastara that we find in the time in which we're living, in the Shara Nun, and will be zocha to see the Gula Shleim of Meherah Kodesh Baruch Hu.